Good evening, everybody. Welcome to all of you. You enjoyed the praise and worship? God is good. Amen. All right, before we start tonight, I would like us to do something, please. How many of you believe that God has blessed you in some way? How many of you have, in your own unique way, got some kind of a testimony that you could share with others of what God has done for you in your life? Just wave at me. All right, now I want you to keep waving, keep waving. I want you to just start looking around, and you will notice that you are in the presence of some very, very blessed people. Amen. And the reason why you can see that you are in the presence of some very, very blessed people is because these people serve an awesome God. And they serve a living God. You see, that's the big difference between us who serve a living God and those who pray to some stupid tree stump or some stupid little statue or something like that. Because statues can't do nothing for you, but God can. Because the Word of God says God never slumbers and God never sleeps. Amen. So no matter what time of the day or the night you travail in prayer, God hears. And you know, the interesting thing is, sometimes we're not really even praying about something, but God just gives it to us anyway. You're still thinking about it, you're still pondering it, and suddenly the power of God is released, and boom, there you get that breakthrough. But now you see, sometimes we really have to pray and pray and pray and pray and fast and fast and fast, and we still do not see the breakthrough. And then the enemy comes and the enemy says to you, you know what? God's not listening to you. What do you answer him when he says something like that? Shut up and futsak, man. Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. The Word of God says God never slumbers and God never sleeps. And God's ear is attentive to his children. You know, we have a little baby in the house. My wife's prayers apparently are much more powerful than mine. I'm not saying that I prayed not to have more children. I just couldn't be bothered. But my wife kept praying and praying and praying that she wants another child. And then we've got what we call the proverbial lard lomiki. And so I have a one-year-old in the house right now. And the interesting thing about my wife is that she can be how deeply asleep. When that baby goes, oeh, she hears it. And by the time he's gone, oeh, the third time, she's standing next to his bed. And I just want to share that with you for you to understand that we have a Father. There is no other religion anywhere where they would refer to their God as their Father. Hello? Remember when Jesus taught us how to pray? Jesus said, when you pray, this is how you should pray, or pray along these lines. Our Father who art in heaven. Now for the Jews in the time when Jesus said these words, that was a shock, because how on earth could he tell them that they could call God Father? You see, what Jesus wants us to understand is that we are in an intimate relationship with God. We are not somewhere far distant, and God is not somewhere far distant. You know, like, let's just say, I know nothing is impossible, but let's just say one of you would like to see the local MP because you've got some problems in your area. I mean, it would take a divine miracle to be able to do that, wouldn't it? But it's not that way with God. And it's because that person is not in a relationship with you. If you were married to the MP, on the other hand, or if the MP was your father, you would pick up the phone and say, hey, Dad, let's go for coffee. And you would go for coffee, you would sit and you have a chat. Relationship opens doors for people. Is that right? Relationships open doors. I picture in my mind's eye the CEO of a company, a big Fortune 500 blue chip company. And everybody is afraid to go into the Oak's office, and you know, people walk on eggshells when they see this Oak coming down the passageway, and everybody's all nervous and all gestressed because of this man. But then his 13-year-old just walks through there as if it's nothing. And he doesn't even bother to knock when he goes into his dad's office. And his dad tolerates that. Why? Because he's in a relationship. Because he's his father. Amen. And you see, what I want you to understand is you and I are in a relationship with God because of Jesus Christ that gave his life for you and I. The Bible says, for all of those that have accepted Jesus Christ, God has given the right to be called children of God. And that's what God wants us to understand. I am no longer somewhere separate from God. I am now part of God's family. And yes, when I look at you now, you are my brothers and you are my sisters and vice versa. Amen. Now that's something to get excited about.
Amen.
Because we have a very big family. And we are also in relationship. And you know who the person is that allows all of this to work, because relationships can be complicated. Have you noticed that? Some of you know that some relationships in your life are very high maintenance. Hello? Some of you are thinking of your mother-in-law now. Now, you know, I never said nothing. You mustn't think. I'm only joking, man. But some relationships are very, very high maintenance. And even in the church, sometimes relationships can be high maintenance. But who is the one that is helping us when it comes to godly relationships? It is the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is working in me, that through me and through my life, I will begin to display the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, how many of you know that Jesus was a very lovable man? Come on. There were people coming from all over the country to be and to sit in his presence. No, the Pharisees didn't like him because they had a religious spirit. But the normal man on the street, they loved him. They wanted to spend time with him. There was something about Jesus that was so different. They were always accepted. He never spoke down on them. He never belittled them. And he always had a message of hope. He was always enthusiastic. He was always excited. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if that begins to happen to you and I? And wherever we go with the same nature, we go with the same character, and we display the same characteristics as Jesus did. How many of you believe that if we had the nature of Christ and we displayed the nature of Christ in that way, that it would not be very difficult to be a fisher of men? Because you see, the thing is, if you give fish the right bait, they will come to you. You don't have to go to them. And that's what God wants. God wants us to be those fishers of men that don't need to work hard to get people to come into the kingdom. We don't need to work hard to try and convince them, because of who we are, because of what people see in me and because of what people see in you. They want to be like you. And I'm not talking about in a bad way. I'm not talking about spiritual jealousy or anything like that. I'm talking about people really want to be like you because they notice that you handle things differently. You go through life differently. You know, Christians, just like any other religion, just like any other person, go through good times and we go through bad times. There is no promise in the Bible that because Jesus is in your life, everything is going to be perfect. Who of you have gone through some storms this year? Who of you are in the midst of some weird little storm right now? Are you in a hurricane? You better come for prayer afterwards. Yes, we do go through problems. We do go through trials. We do go through tribulation. We go through all of the same stuff that the world goes through. But there is one thing that makes us different from the world. He that is in us gives us the power to overcome. For we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that gives us his strength. And if Jesus Christ is in us and his nature and his character is displayed in us, then we do begin to handle things differently. I remember when I was younger, before I really had a relationship with the Lord the way that I do now, I used to go through problems and I used to go through turmoil and I would freak out and I would throw things around. And man, if the dog was too close, it would somehow get a kick, you know. My life would literally be falling apart because I have this tiny little problem. Because this tiny little problem would be staring me right in the face and I wouldn't know how to get around it or how to get over it or how to go through it. And it would feel like my life is falling apart because of this little problem. But now, because I am in Christ, I begin to receive Christ's perspective on my problems. And you know the difference between me and Christ? I need to face my problems head on. Jesus sees it from the top. And he sees, you know what, this is such a trivial little thing, you shouldn't even worry about it. And that thing, that understanding, that knowledge begins to seep into my heart and I begin to look at life in a totally different way. Because of Jesus in my life, I have hope. Because of Jesus in my life, I don't give in to despair the way that I used to, and neither should you. Now, the thing that I wanted to talk about tonight before we start is, every single one of us has something that we are thankful for. And I'm sure if you go and sit and you think for a while, one A4 page would not be enough for you to write down all of the things that we are thankful for. Now, what I would like us to do is I would like us to give something back to God for that which God has done for us. Now, don't get stressed, because some of you might be thinking, man, he's going to ask me for money now. I don't need your money. I serve the richest Jew in the universe. Money is not a problem for me, hello? It's not a problem. But what I want you to do is I want you and I, we are going to give God an offering of praise. I would like you to stand with me. And I'm going to tell you why we're going to do this. Because the Holy Spirit, one of the characteristics, one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is the one that has come to comfort us. He works in comfort. Now, the moment you go to somebody and you begin to comfort them and you speak kind words and you speak goodness into their life, then the Holy Spirit begins to work with you, because that is His nature, that is His character, and that is the character of Christ. Now, how much more when we begin to speak this to God? You cannot do it but by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are talking about the Holy Spirit now, right now. This whole series that I'm speaking on now is about the Holy Spirit. And I prayed for earlier, and I said to you that I can't teach you about the Holy Spirit. He needs to reveal Himself to you. And I believe that if we give God glory for what He has done for us, and we give Him praise and we give Him honor, and we acknowledge Him in what He has done for us, then the Spirit of God needs to come and do it through us, because He wants us to do a good job. He wants us to do a proper job. So, you know what? This is probably a little bit weird to you if you've never come to these meetings. I want to explain something to you. These meetings are interdenominational. All right? So, in other words, they are probably a bit different from the way that you do things at your church. But I want you to be open enough to understand that they are not ungodly and they are not unscriptural. They are just a little bit different. We all grow up in a certain atmosphere. We grow up in a certain culture. And sometimes what is outside of our culture, we frown upon and we are afraid of that. That's just human nature. We are always afraid of something we do not know. When Mr. Benz invented the first car, they wanted to stone him because of this weird contraption that he had built. And he had to pay people to come and drive the thing. Today, we can't wait to climb into the next car. We can't wait, because now we've realized that it's not something bad, it's not something evil, this is beneficial. When was the last time you had to walk to work? We make a plan. You either get in a car, you get in a taxi. But there was a time when this was weird. Right now, for you and I, these things are not weird anymore. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work. One of the things that the Holy Spirit specializes in is praise, giving honor to God. And when we go and we begin to do that, I'm telling you now, the Spirit of God is going to begin to flow. The Old Testament tells us of a time when the river of God will flow, not knee deep, not ankle deep, not waist deep, but He will submerge us. The river of God is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The water is the life of God. And let me tell you what, when you go through trials and you go through tribulation, but you are in the river of God, then you are in the very essence of life itself. And nothing is going to get you down. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to begin to give God praise. Now, I would like you to, if you feel comfortable with that, just raise your hands. And right there where you stand, you just begin to thank the Lord. You can do it out loud if you want. You can do it in your mind if you want. I don't care. You begin to thank God for what He has done for you. You give Him praise and you give Him glory. Father God, I love You, Lord, and I give You all the praise and I give You all the honor, for You are Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Great I Am. Lord, You have done wonderful things for Your children. You gave Your Son and You blessed every single one of us with life. I praise You, Lord, for You are awesome, You are mighty, You are powerful, and You are wonderful. And Lord, Your plans are plans of goodness, of kindness. Your plans are to bless us and not to curse us, to give us a hope, to give us a future. We bless You, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise You. We praise You. The Lord says that His ear is not shut off to you. The Lord says that when you cry for help, He will answer you. The Lord says if you lay down your pride, if you lay down your arrogance, and you come to Him in humility, He will hear you, He will answer you, and He will bless you. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. Now, I would like all of you to just repeat after me. Father God, We bless you tonight.
We bless you tonight.
For all the good things,
you have done in our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We are speaking on the Holy Spirit. And last week, the first thing that I shared with you is that we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have now lied to the Holy Spirit? And that you have kept yourself some of the money that you received for this land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money still yours? Now what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to man, but you have lied to God. He starts off by saying to him, you lied to the Holy Spirit. He ends off by saying to him, you lied to God, which means that the two are one. The Holy Spirit is God. And then we said that the Holy Spirit is not just some impersonal force. I was on a website today of a man that I respect. I respect his views. I like the way that he puts things. But there was one thing that put me off completely. Because he has a very big thing there where he says that the Holy Spirit is not a person. He is not a personality. He is just an energy. He is just a force. And you know what? It saddens me when I read things like that. Because you know what? You have to acknowledge somebody for who they are. If you just think about it, if you walk into a room and nobody acknowledges you, you are just something that is there. How does it make you feel? You never feel good. We have to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is a person. And the way that we prove to you that the Holy Spirit is a person is by giving you three scriptures. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grief is an emotion. Hello? How many of you have gone through grief? How many of you know that when you go through grief, you really feel deep in the core of your being that, I feel no lacking, I'm not lacking, you know? I'm upset, I'm troubled, I'm disappointed, I'm frustrated. I don't know, it's a whole combination of different emotions that goes through you. But can I tell you something? Grief is something that people feel, okay? People feel grief. The second scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. He says there, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed this message with the joy that was given to you by the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. You became imitators of us. Last week, I never said something about this, but I had a thought of this in this week. And I want to say to you that you became imitators of us. Some of the scriptures are translated, you became followers of us. We do not follow men. We do not follow man. You do not follow me or your pastor or anybody else. But in a sense, you have to follow him. Can I tell you why? Because he leads you to the right person. How many of you have come to these meetings and through the teachings and through the ministry, you have truly met with Jesus Christ? Come on, just wave at me. Now, in a sense, you came to these meetings and you were following someone, but that someone was not the person that you were searching for. That person was just pointing you in the right direction so that you could meet with the person that you were trying to find. And that is Jesus. And you see, my friend, that is the essence of discipleship. Discipleship means that we find somebody that we can follow, somebody that we can trust, somebody that teaches the truth, preaches the truth, and shows us the nature of Christ. And we follow that person, but not so that we can be a follower of the person, that the person can lead us to Christ, and we can become followers of Christ through that person. Is that right? So we are not followers of men. We are followers of Christ. But in the process, we walk a road with some people that know more than what we do, that have more insight, that have more knowledge, that have more revelation, and therefore they know where they are going. When you follow somebody, please remember they better know where they're going. Otherwise, you are going in circles with them. And if you look at the Israelites that went in circles round and round and round the mountain, let me tell you something, that's not pleasant. It's not nice. And a lot of Christians, I really do believe, find themselves in that situation because after 5, 10, 15, 20 years of serving God, being children of God, when they look at their life, they've actually gone nowhere. You better make sure that whoever you are following is going somewhere. Because you're following them. Hello. Now, he says there, you welcome the message with the joy given to you by the Holy Spirit. Again, another characteristic of the Holy Spirit is he gives joy. Now, you know what? You can't give what you do not have. Hello? I can't give you joy if I have no joy. If I preach here with a long face and I'm all upset and I'm all frustrated and I'm all irritated, in a little while you are all going to feel the way that I am because that's what I'm projecting towards you. But if I have joy and I'm filled with joy, then you're going to begin to feel the joy that I have. Now, one of the things that happens in people's lives when the Holy Spirit comes into their life is they receive joy. And I said to you last week, there is a big difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is built on your circumstances. If somebody gives me an M3 BMW tomorrow, I'm going to have a lot of happiness. Hello? I'm also going to have a lot of speeding fines. But I'm going to have a lot of happiness. I'm going to be very chuffed. But you must understand something. My problems are not going to disappear because I've got a new M3 BMW. Hello? They're still going to be waiting for me. And after a while, I get a little bit used to the car. It doesn't do the same thing to me that it did initially. But the difference between happiness and joy is happiness comes from outside. Joy comes from inside. And the one that we should be pursuing is the one that comes from the inside. I will never forget the one day a gentleman came to see me. And when he stopped in front of my house, he stopped there in a brand new Harley Davidson motorbike, Fat Boy, which I gather he paid probably about 150,000 rand for because it wasn't even a normal one. It was modified and it had all sorts of funny little stuff put on it. And he had the right helmet, you know, the real peapot and the whole toot. He had everything. He had the leathers, he had the shoes, he had the boots. All right, I might have called it something that it is not, but it's just the way that it looks. You understand? So anyway, he came and he sat there, and when he greeted me, he was all smiles, and we were talking about the bike, and his eyes were just all lit up, and he was all excited telling me about the bike. Then we went inside, and we sat and we spoke for a while. And within 10 minutes, the man was in tears because his life was falling apart. When he was talking about the bike, he had a smile on his face. But the bike wasn't enough for him to forget about all of his problems, to forget about all of his travail and the things that he was going through. And he also needed to come to a place that he realized that, and he said to me, he said, you know that bike that's standing out there? That's my midlife crisis. That's the way that I'm trying to deal with what I'm feeling and with what I'm experiencing right now, because I don't feel good about myself. I don't feel good about my wife. I don't feel good about my children. I don't feel good about my job. I don't feel good about anything. How many people are out there like this man that are going through some kind of a, let's not even call it a midlife crisis. Let's just call it a satanic crisis, because that's all it is. It's the devil starting to mess with your mind. The Holy Spirit has the attribute of joy. And if you trust Him and if you believe in Him, He will give you what you need. That joy inside that is in the very core, the very root of your being. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. If it doesn't flow from your heart, it won't affect your life. That's why a new car doesn't change your life. Let me tell you something. A mistress will not change your life. Come on. A fling in the darkness will not change your life. It'll make you feel good for a couple of minutes. Okay, maybe if it was a real good fling, it'll make you feel good for a couple of days. But it'll not change your life. In fact, it'll probably cause big, big, big drama, because your wife will probably find out. Or your husband will probably find out. And even if they don't find out, you're going to get older and you're going to remember. And then that thing's going to give you a hiding. What you thought was pleasure will turn into pain. Because what we really need is we need joy and we need peace on the inside. And if God gives you joy and He gives you peace on the inside, then He does change your life. Amen? He does change your life. Young man, where are you? Where's that young man that was sitting next to you? Can you call him for me quickly, please? If God doesn't change you on the inside, and if you don't allow God to change you on the inside, then nothing that you are doing right now will bring about lasting change. Amen? Nothing that you are doing right now will bring about lasting change. And then we said in the book of Judges, chapter, I think it is 14, verse 19, or 16, verse 19. I scribbled a bit just so I'm not 100% sure. But then the Holy Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon. He struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. I won't explain the whole thing, but Samson went through, it's fine. Samson went through some stuff. And one day, he asked a riddle to the Philistines, and through fraud, they managed to figure out the riddle. But everything was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit because God wanted to bring judgment upon the Philistines for the way that they had been treating the Israelites. And God was looking for a way to administer that judgment. And Samson would be the one that would administer God's judgment. And it came when the Holy Spirit fell on him, and instantly an anger began to burn inside of him. And when that anger filled him, he went and he destroyed 30 Philistines. The Holy Spirit is capable of the emotion of anger. Hello? He is capable of the emotion of anger. And I said to people that, you know what, that is probably not something that we would generally associate with the Holy Spirit of God, because when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of peace, and we think of joy, and we think of blessings, etc., etc. But you also have to understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that deals with the works of darkness. Guess who kicked the devil out of heaven? The Holy Ghost. I know he had a smile on his face by the time the devil fell, but there was anger in his heart before the devil fell. That's why he kicked it out. Hello? The Holy Spirit can be grieved, which is an emotion. The Holy Spirit can have anger, which is an emotion. And the Holy Spirit can have joy, which is an emotion. And then, lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. No, that's not the one that I'm looking for. The Holy Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Listen carefully. This is what was happening. They were worshipping the Lord and they were fasting. And then suddenly one day the Holy Spirit spoke, and He spoke to all of them. Now how did He speak? I don't know. Did He speak through prophecy? Did He speak through a dream? Well, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it wasn't the man speaking. It was the Holy Spirit Himself that spoke, and He said the following. He said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." If you come across somebody that can be grieved, that can have joy, that can have anger, that can speak, that can think and that can reason, there is no good reason why that is not a person. Hello? Is the Holy Spirit a person? Yes, He is a person. So the Holy Spirit has all the attributes of speech, thought, feelings necessary for us to classify Him as a person. And this brings me to a very, very important point. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity, the person of the Trinity that is sent to help you and I. Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus Himself said, "It is better for you that I shall go, because if I go, my Father will send you the gift that He has promised you." Now, I know we accept Jesus into our hearts, and I don't doubt that Jesus is at work in your life, but the one that is at work in your life more than any other person is the Holy Spirit of God, because that's why He came, to help you. You know the marriage that you are struggling with right now? Yes, you pray to Jesus for Him to sort it out. Now, let me put it to you this way. The Bible says we pray to the Father in the name of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then things begin to fall into place in your life. Amen? Now, if you do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you do not acknowledge the one that has been sent to help you, how far are you going to get? Probably not that far. Before I go any further, I would like to mention a couple of things that's been bothering me for a while. We have lately seen a massive increase in false teachings, heresy, all around this area. I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to go there. But I'm going to give you a very stern warning. When you become aware of the Holy Spirit, when you become aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when you become aware that in the kingdom of God, things can actually happen. And by that, I don't just mean going to church, praying and singing a hymn and hearing a message and going home, but I actually mean the Spirit of God begins to move, people begin to be ministered to, people have experiences with God. When people realize that, they sometimes start running around and they are looking for some divine blessing. They are trying to find this. Now, I want to warn you that there are some traps set out there. And I know this, that I know this for a fact, because in the last couple of weeks, that's kind of like all we've been dealing with here. Because people get excited about God. They get enthusiastic about God, and now they go and they look for more. But the problem is they have very little discernment. And because they don't have discernment, they end up in places where they burn their fingers. The Bible says, brothers, believe not every spirit that comes in my name, but test every spirit whether it is of God. Amen? 1 John chapter 4, from verse 1, go and check it out for yourself. The Bible warns us that you should not just accept that because something has happened, it is necessarily the Spirit of God doing it. You've got to understand something, my friend. The devil can do a lot of stuff. Yeah, I know people get very upset when we say stuff like that, but it's true. You remember the story of Moses? Moses was given by God certain godly gifts to go and confront Pharaoh. And he was told that if he takes his staff and he puts it on the ground, it'll turn into a serpent. He was shown by God how to make his staff bloom, and it had flowers on and all sorts of stuff. He was shown by God how to turn water into wine. Water into blood. And he went and he showed Pharaoh all of these things. Now there was one problem. Pharaoh's magicians could copy everything that he did. But please note, they simply copied. They did not originate. They copied. Until today, that's exactly how Satan works. When he sees something happen in the church, he immediately starts working on a counterfeit, so that he can draw people in and destroy their lives through it. We know that God is more powerful than Satan. It was shown to us clearly by the symbolism of Moses' serpent swallowing up the serpents of Jannes and Jambres, the two magicians. But we should take note of the fact that it is not just God that can do miraculous signs. It is not just God that can perform wonders. The Bible says in the last days, in the times in which we are living right now, Satan will, if possible, deceive even the very elect. We were praying for some people, and they went to a meeting where there was some supposed man of God that came and ministered, and when he touched people, they would start spinning around and they would do all sorts of funny stuff, and it looked pretty amazing, I'm sure. The problem is, when we prayed for them, the moment we began to pray for them, they began to spin around like that again. And it was very clear that something was off. And when I confronted it, it was a demon, which had entered them when the person had touched them. And it had to be cast out. You see, my friend, I want you to understand something. The Bible says we must test the spirits to make sure that they are of God. How do you test a spirit? You look for fruit. And if you can't see fruit the first time you go there, then you go back again a second time and you hang back a little bit and you say, listen, let me just, I must eyeball this thing and check if there's fruit. And you must check whether there is fruit in the life of the person that lays hands on you. On Monday night, we were praying for a very lovely young girl that also one night went to a church because she wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. She wanted to experience all sorts of stuff. And there was some people laying hands on people, and she went for them to pray for her. Now, just I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit really works. Because there was the real and then there was the counterfeit. They prayed for her, and I don't know exactly what happened to her, but she never started speaking in tongues. She eventually left. And on Monday night, she came and she received prayer. Now, I did not ask people, what should I pray for you? I said to them, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to let God do whatever He wants to do. Because I just felt that tonight, God wants to do what He wants to do, not what I want to do. I said, I'm going to pray that the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and whatever God wants to do, that's fine by me. And I prayed for this girl, and as I was praying for her, she began to shake, and she fell down on the ground, and she lay there, and she was shaking. So I said, okay, well, let's leave her there for a while. God's doing something. We'll see now what it is. And I had a suspicion that it's an evil spirit. And I said, this might be an evil spirit, but time will tell. Because I have to give God the opportunity to do what He wants to do. So I was praying for other people, and the whole time she was shaking, and then she began to speak in a tongue. But it bothered me the way in which she was doing it. There was something that was not like her. Something was off. And at some stage, I went and I put my hands on her and I began to pray. And the moment I began to pray next to her, whatever was speaking in a tongue through her challenged me. And I knew that that was not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God in her and the Spirit of God in me has no reason to fight. We are on the same team. But if there was a false spirit in her and the Spirit of God is in me, then the two are going to fight because they are water and oil. They cannot mix. And so instantly there was a fight. And then I asked her, did you ever go to another place where people laid hands on you and prayed with you? And she said, yes. I said to her, this is a false spirit. This is like a false anointing that is upon your life. And this thing is going to curse your life. This is one of the reasons why you are not growing spiritually, why your life is going nowhere, because she wasn't going anywhere. And I said to her, you have to renounce what was done. Pray with me. And she renounced it. And just after she renounced it, something interesting began to happen. Another spirit manifested. And when I asked the spirit who it was, it actually didn't give me a name. It just simply said, it's time for me to go. Prozzi, what did it say? Can you remember? It said something stupid like, it's time for me to go. But the way in which it was saying it, it was pretty clear that it was there was some innuendo that it's time for her to end her life. And it was a spirit of death. And we cast it out, bless God. But you see, my friend, what I'm trying to say to you is this. The Holy Spirit is real. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is real. And there is nothing wrong with being charismatic. Let me someone say something about that as well. I have often heard people say, I don't like charismatics. I don't like the charismatic movement. People perceive the charismatic movement to be the happy clappies. In other words, if you dance and you dive and you've got your hands in the air and you've got some flags and you're doing some crazy stuff, you are charismatic, and then some people have a problem with it. No, you've just got a problem with their culture. That's all. Because they grew up in a different culture than you did. You know what? If you grew up in a church where that happened from small, you would have done the same thing and you wouldn't have had a problem with it. It would have been very acceptable to you. But the thing that you are doing that is causing big problems for you is you are cursing yourself by grieving the Holy Spirit. Because let me explain to you what the word charismatic really means. The word charismatic refers to the person of the Holy Spirit as the giver of the gifts of God. Hello? Now, if you say that I have no time for charismatics, I don't want to be part of the charismatic movement, you are saying, I don't let the Holy Spirit near me, don't let Him touch me, don't let Him be a part of my life, and guess what? You've grieved Him, He's gone. Now you sit there in church and you say, but God doesn't like me, God doesn't care about me, nothing ever happens in my life. Why doesn't God? Oh, God's got favorites. No, my friend, it's you. Because you say things that you don't know what you are saying. Let me tell you something. Every single Christian has to be charismatic, otherwise he's got a problem. And by that, I don't mean that you have to run around with a flag in your hand. I don't mean that you have to shout at the top of your voice. I don't mean that you have to necessarily even clap. It might be good for you to do that now and then, but I don't say that you have to. But I'm saying that you better allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, or you got problems. Because there is no life outside of the Spirit of God. And there are many churches that are following pastors that have a huge problem with the charismatic movement. And can I tell you what's happening in that church? Nothing is dead. Because the pastor has chased the Spirit of God out. Don't you bring that stuff near me. I don't want that stuff. No talking in tongues in this church. You know, the one church that I attended, they actually referred to the speaking in tongues as talking Chinese. There are some people sitting here that know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not talking Chinese. It is a heavenly language. But it doesn't have to be heavenly. I will never remember one night I was teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I was doing a seminar, and there was a gentleman sitting there that was from one of the Africa countries. I don't know which one. It was maybe the Congo, or it was Zaire or somewhere. I can't remember. And as an example, I just spoke something in one of my tongues, and I said to them that, you know, this and this and this is how it works. And then the gentleman suddenly jumped up and he said, "You just spoke to me." I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Yes, you did." I said, "What did I tell you?" He said, "You just said this and this and this and this and this." I said, "Well, is it true?" He says, "Yes, it is." And his eyes were that big. And at that moment, what came out of my lips was in a known language that he was the only person in the room that could understand it, and it was a message given to him by name. That's God. Now, in the days of the Bible, these things happened. You know, Jerusalem was a very multicultural place. And you found Greeks there, and you found Romans there, and you found Jews there, and you found people from all over the known world that came to Jerusalem. It was this multicultural pot. And the thing is, a lot of them spoke languages that were not very common. And so on the day of Pentecost, when the power of God's Holy Spirit fell on the people, a lot of the people that knew that Peter was a Jew and could not speak their language because he had never been trained in that language, was suddenly speaking to them in their own language, sharing the gospel of Christ in a known language. And they believed because they knew that this man can't speak my language. They knew that God must be real, because how else can this man do it? And you know what? We really need God to come and do that which the world says is impossible in our midst. Hello? How many of you know that we need to have a meeting between the natural and the supernatural, and we need it badly? But we don't need it that badly that we're going to go to the Chocha stuff to go and look for it. It was once said that if your desire for the supernatural exceeds your level of discernment, then you are a prime candidate for deception. And that will never change. There are a lot of things out there, but there is only one true Spirit of God. How are we going to know when it is the Spirit of God? Well, that's a good question. Let's look at the next thing that we need to touch on. Let me first check how I am for time. I've got maybe 5 minutes left. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. John 16, verse 12 to 14. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples about what was still to come. In other words, about the Holy Spirit that would be poured out and his purpose for coming. Now he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. I want to say to you that that is true of my life, that is true of your life, that is true of all of us. Because you cannot go to one single sermon that will tell you everything that you need to know. Hello? And even if you sit in church every Sunday of the year, you will not hear everything that you need to hear. Think about it, my friends. The disciples walked with Jesus very closely for 3 full years. They could ask him anything. Well, I suppose within reason, they could ask him anything. And he would tell them. And as he was busy ministering and as he was busy doing things, he was teaching them all the time. And he said to them, to you belong the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. I will open these things up to you to give you understanding. And after 3 years of intensely spending time with Jesus, he comes to a time where he says to them, one of these days I'm going to go away. And I have much more to teach you, and I have much more to show you, and I have much more that I need to expose you to, but I can't do that. But when he comes, the Spirit of Truth, he will reveal to you all things. You see, my friend, you still have a fairly good long life ahead of you. And every now and then, the Lord is going to have to in some way speak to you to give you direction. Let's say somebody comes to you today and they give you a prophecy, a wonderful prophecy, a long prophecy, 5 minutes long. Can you in 5 minutes expose somebody to the rest of their life? No. So you have to understand that at different intervals in your life, every now and then the Lord will have to impart to you new, fresh vision. The Lord will have to give you fresh revelation about your life. Because the prophecy that you heard now or yesterday or whenever did not necessarily speak about the problem that you're going through now. So now you need vision. How do I get through this problem? How do I deal with this thing? Lord, please, I need help. And so the Lord will have to come and in some way speak into your life. Now this is what Jesus says. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Listen carefully. He said to the disciples, there are some things that I want to share with you, but if I share it with you now, it'll make your brain go pop. Because it'll be too big for you. Because you are not at the right place that you can hear these things. But there will come a day as the Holy Spirit leads you through life and prepares you that the time will be right for you to hear what you need to hear. And then he will be the one that will say this to you. But he will not say whatever he wants. He will say whatever he hears me saying. So Jesus was really saying to them, listen here, even though I'm gone, think of it as I'm not gone. Because through the Holy Spirit, I will continue to speak to you. I will continue to give you direction. I will continue to give you revelation. I will continue to give you wisdom. How many of you need revelation, vision, and wisdom in your life? All right. Well, you see, after 3 years of being with Jesus every day, the disciples might have thought to themselves, yesterday, man, we've arrived. We've been with the greatest master of all time. He's shown us all these things. He's shown us how to cast out some devils. He's shown us how to heal the sick. He's explained to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We know everything. And then Jesus comes and he bursts their bubble and he says, listen, yokes, you have much more to learn. But there are many things that I can't teach you right now because you are not ready for it. Now I want to say to you, respectfully, that that's you and I. There are many things that Jesus wants to say to you right now. But even if he was to stand here in the flesh, he couldn't say it to you now because you're not ready. There needs to be a time of preparation in your life where the Holy Spirit prepares you for what you need to hear. I'll give you an example. 15 years ago, the Lord changed my life drastically. I walked into a church that night and somebody prophesied over me. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and it was just an amazing roller coaster ride from that day on where my life was different. But now let's take my life back let's say, 20 years. If I go back 20 years, by then I was about 19 years old. I was into the world. I was into worldliness. I was into sin and sinfulness. If it was good for the body, if it was good for the flesh, it was good for me. If it was good for the spirit, it was weird and I wanted nothing to do with it. If the Lord had exposed me to that 5 years earlier, would it have worked? No. Why not? Because I wasn't ready. I have much more for you that you cannot now bear. But you know what? The Lord knew 5 years from now, I'm going to take you down a new path. I'm going to do things in your life that will bring you to a place that you will be ready to receive what I have to give you. Sometimes there is a reason why God takes His time to expose us to certain things. Now in your mind, you think to yourself, but what's this I'm talking about? I'm ready. I was born ready. You know what, that might work as a catchphrase when you're doing team building and all of that stuff, but that does not work in the kingdom of God. You were not born ready. You are being prepared right now. And when you are ready, then the Lord will release anointing, He will release power, and He will do what needs to be done to get you where you need to go. But right now, you are not ready. But the best thing that you can do is move with the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to teach you. Be open to His voice. Have a relationship with Him. Be close to Him. Because He will do what is necessary to prepare you for what needs to happen. And you know what? I know you don't want to hear this. But sometimes part of the preparation is also disappointment. Is also problems. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. If you take a bottle of Coke and you put it down there, and you take the top off, none of what is inside will come outside. But if you now go and take that same bottle of Coke and you begin to push it from both sides, what will happen? What's inside comes out. Now sometimes we say to ourselves, you know what, I'm okay. I don't have issues, I don't have problems, I reckon I've searched my heart and everything is perfect. Wait until the pressure comes. And see how you react. Because how you react comes from your heart. If you want to murder the kids, there's something cockeye in your heart. You hear what I'm saying? Huh? The Lord knows how to bring us to the place where we are ready for the new level, for the new dimension. It's human. We want to grow. It's human. We want to get there quickly. Yeah, we mustn't take a long time. We must go quick, quick, quick. We want all these big things. The Lord builds a foundation that can sustain big things. And the bigger the thing the Lord has called you for, the bigger the thing that is in your future, the bigger the foundation that is necessary to carry you in those times. One of the big problems that we've got is some of us, we've only allowed the Lord to build this little 2x2 foundation. But we want to build a skyscraper on that 2x2 foundation. And we insist on living like we are already in that skyscraper. And you know the problem is when you are on the top floor of a skyscraper and the thing falls, you're going to get very, very hurt. And that's why a lot of people really get very, very hurt, because they don't allow the Lord to take His time. Now I'm no different. I wanted it yesterday. And the Lord every now and then has to just rein me in and say, listen, yeah, buddy, if I was to listen to you and if I was to give you what you asked for, I would also have to pick up the pieces 6 months from now, because you will not make it. And I've learned that I have to be content. That doesn't mean that I can't have an expectation. Of course I have to have an expectation. But I also have to be content when God doesn't meet my expectation today. And I still have to have an expectation that maybe tomorrow or the day after. And I can't turn my back on God when it looks like He doesn't want to give me what I want now. Do you give a 38 special to a 4-year-old? Why not? Because he doesn't know how to use it. And if he doesn't kill himself, he'll at least shoot you in the foot or somewhere where you didn't need. You know, you need a couple of holes in your body, but there are some that you don't need. Like the ones made by bullets. So you wait until he's maybe 20 years old and he's got some maturity and he's got half a brain and, you know, now you teach him how guns work, etc., etc. Now some of us, we want God to put the spiritual bazooka in our hands. And he must release us and every devil must just freak out because here I come with my rainbow bazooka, my spiritual Gatling gun. And the Lord says, man, if I put that thing in your hands right now, you'll blow your own head off. Let's rather just wait a while. I'll train you up. I'll train you good. I'll give you a solid foundation. And one day when you're ready, I'll send you. And you'll do all of those things. You'll be that man. You'll be that woman that you see in the vision. But when God gives us a vision, he doesn't always tell us when. Is that right? Many of you sitting here, you've received prophecies. You've seen a vision. You've had a dream about your life. Well, you saw yourself in victory. You saw yourself, or you heard that you were going to do big things. But it was never said when. And the bigger the things that you're going to do, the more time the Lord will spend building into your life, preparing you for what's going to come. And preparation is not always good. Well, it's good, but it's not always lacquer for us, you know. It's difficult. It's difficult. All right, I'm going to stop there for tonight. Did anybody learn something tonight? I would like you to give the Lord a very big hand. Does anybody know a little bit more about the Holy Spirit now? Amen. Now that's good news, and I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's come to help you and I. And the better you get to know him, the more he can do in your life. Well, bless God. All right. Can I ask the guys that's helped me with the CDs, would you mind coming forward and helping me, please?